Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Saturday morning, and it'll be a ride from 8 to 10, and as usually the case, there is so much to talk about. Joe Douglas takes a job with the Jets. I think the Eagles will miss him, but the case in the National Football League, when you have good executives, they are always going to, just like when you have good assistant coaches, they're always going to find another job. And I think the Eagles have positioned themselves for that, knowing that there was a strong possibility that would happen. So Joe Douglas moves on. They can only go up. The Jets are a joke as far as an organization. But obviously, he got final say and he got a long deal. So we can talk about that. We can talk about Malcolm Jenkins, which I'm told he will not show for the mandatory minicamp. There are physicals on Monday, and the first workout is on Tuesday. I'm not sure when the fine starts, and I don't know how that's all going to play out. I believe he has to report on Monday, even though there's no workouts. And from what I'm told, he's not going to be there on Monday, and he's certainly not going to be there for the workouts, and he's got no shot getting what he thinks he should get. Again, what I've been told is he wants to be paid like the top safeties in the league. He's eighth now, which isn't bad. You know, in the world of sports, they used to pay on past performance. Well, the last couple of years, he's slowed down a little bit, still solid. Still a good player to, he plays every down. He's important to the team. I get all that. I think people have overstated this leadership thing. They have other leaders in that locker room that can take care of things. But you see now that the Eagles, with the Carson Wentz deal, used the money they had. Most of the money, and I don't know how it's structured, most of the money under the cap, it is the way they structured it is really good because it really doesn't hurt them that much. But you don't throw away money to a player who's already under contract, who's 31, going to be 32 years old. And his skills, still good, not great, still good, but his speed is declining. So when you, and I, people will take this whatever way they want. He's a very, very solid player, Malcolm Jenkins. But he has not played at the level he did, let's say, 3 years ago. And that's what teams look for, future performance more than they look for past performance. The Carson Wentz deal, it's for future performance based on past performance, but based on his age. Joe Banner explained that he got too heavy into the numbers, he was on another, it was on Rich Eisen's show. I'll play that for you later. And he explains it. I think the gist of it, he explains very well that it's a great, great deal for the Eagles. Great deal. And a big part of the reason that it's a great deal, he's got 2 years left before the extension kicks in. So the average number is $24.5, $25 million. It's a year. That's really That's really, really a good, good deal. And all these people, the Joe Santalegilios of the world, who don't like Carson Wentz, for whatever reasons, and I like Joe. I really, really enjoy working with Joe when we work during the week. I really do enjoy it, but sometimes he's got to be straightened out. But he's not the only one. All these people that were whining, oh, well, you know, what happens if he gets hurt? What happens if any quarterback gets hurt? And Jimmy Garoppolo, when San Francisco signed him in that big, big deal, he hadn't even really proven himself yet when he signs with that big, big deal. And then he gets hurt. And ACL injuries are non-contact. It's amazing. These soft tissue injuries, that's why sports science, I think, is a joke. It's a joke. Sports science was supposed to be, and I respect the guys that try to analyze all these things, but teams overdo it with sports science. ACL injuries, I've yet to see an ACL injury that was caused by contact. And Lawrence McCutcheon was the latest one. It was not caused by contact, and I'm going to get into that too. But we can talk about the Wentz deal and whether you like it or you don't like it. I mean, I don't know why you can't like it. It's just, he is the franchise quarterback. He is the future of this organization. He is the reason that the Eagles are going to go back to Super Bowls, and I say plural. He is the main reason. So it's a great deal, and we can talk about that. We'll talk about whether you like it or you don't like it. We can also get into the Phillies not signing Craig Kimbrell, who I think that was kind of a waste of money to pay a closer that much money. And you can say you got him cheaper than what he wanted. Well, what he wanted was way, way too much. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with the Phillies not signing Keuchel because I think they'll do better trading for a pitcher. I really do think they'll do better. And people were, well, they're going to give up future assets and give up future minor league players. Who's to say these minor league players will ever make? How many of these minor league players have ever made it that you've traded? And teams will take a chance because they know the player they have is not going to stay there. And if you're a good organization, you draft more good players and you develop more good minor league players. So I'm okay without the Phillies signing Keuchel, and I'll explain to you in a little while why it was good for Atlanta, but not good for some other teams, and one of those other teams being the Phillies. Toronto wins last night. They're up 3-1 in the series. And I can't help, Kawhi Leonard is just an unbelievable player. Not only with his ability, but obviously the way he connects with his team, and he leads the way, and he is the real definition of a leader, even though he's quiet. I don't know what he's like in the locker room, but he is a leader. The way he helps those players and tries to get them involved and plays the way he does. And I can't ever, and I don't think anybody else will ever forget, Brett Brown's comment. And he was the guy before Elton Brand obviously showed ownership that he should be the guy making all these personnel decisions and not the head coach. I can't get away from Brett Brown telling everybody he was going star hunting. Kawhi Leonard was the best star on the market. The best star on the market. He was going star hunting, but he kept a player who you can't win a championship with, and that was Ben Simmons. And just think if he would have gotten Kawhi Leonard. Think about, could this have been the Sixers in the finals? And it certainly would not have been Toronto. Think about whether this could have been the Sixers in the finals with Kawhi Leonard Oh my gosh. But Brett Brown, his star hunting was a pop gun. They could have had a star and they didn't. And we can touch on that. But here's one thing that I do want to touch on because it created a furor. And I don't know. I think it created more of a furor among the fans when Angelo Gattaldi, in his weekly, and I'll still call it an interview because that's really what it is, his weekly interview of Gabe Kapler. And I can't believe, I can believe the fans turned on Angelo Gattaldi, and they turned in dramatic numbers. But I can't believe how much they turned on Angelo Gattaldi. They really went after him on social media, which, by the way, is not social and it's not media. They went after him. And the biggest problem, there was a lot of issues, in my opinion. This is strictly my opinion, and I've heard some other people on the air that disagreed with the way that Angelo conducted that interview. Angelo wanted to be, you know, he talked about it for, I don't know, days. He's going to go after Gabe Kapler. Well, you can't approach, again, the way I do it, and everybody does things differently. He's going to go after Gabe Kapler. I just don't think that's the way you approach an interview. I think he went overboard, and we'll talk about it. And we're going to play part of it, and we're going to ask for your opinion. But the biggest, and Gabe Kapler challenged him on it, and people challenged him on it, when Angelo said he was the voice of the fans. And really, he's not the voice of the fans. I'm not the voice of the fans. None of our hosts are the voice of the fans. The fans are the voice of the fans. And Kapler made an interesting, and I didn't think about it when he said, your callers are the voice. So, and basically that's the callers, the people, the opinions, the fans are the voice of the fans. We're not the voice of the fans. We allow you, or we don't allow you, we do, but in essence, WIP Radio is very successful because we allow you to be the voice of the fans. Now, some people are way off base, and they're way off base, and I get it, but it's still your voice. You are the voice of the fans because you are the fans, and there's people on the air who can be fans, and they can be their own voice, but that was the thing, that was the comment, which from reading the comments on social media, that they probably most objected to with Angelo saying he was the voice of the fans. The other thing, and this is the heart of the matter, was Gene Secord slipped in the box and didn't run hard after he got up. The second baseman for San Diego, just a very, very heads-up play, did it the right way. He let the ball drop. If you put it in your glove and drop it, the umpire can rule the batter out. He let it drop, picked it up. He knew he was going to get Segura, and then he got McCutchen in a rundown, and McCutchen got an ACL injury. Based on what I've seen, just an opinion, with ACL injuries, they're non-contact injuries. It's hard to say, but I believe Andrew McCutchen would somewhere along the line have suffered an ACL injury. Because somewhere along the line, he would have made a move, an athletic move, and I think the injury would have happened anyway. It wasn't necessarily because McCutchen didn't run. It was a cause and effect, but I think Andrew McCutchen would have had, I think McCutchen would have had an injury. There's a football player, Lawrence McCutchen. But I think McCutchen would have had the injury, the ACL injury, regardless of it was on that play or another play, because it's just the way they happen. It's, I don't know if you call it fate, but I've seen these plays, and they just happen. But sometime along the way, I believe they're going to happen if they happen in certain situations. So I would have done things differently with Segura because of that situation if I was Gabe Kapler. And I'll get into it, why I think it went too far. I would have done it differently, but that doesn't mean you keep on harping on it. But we'll deal with that. And we'll get to your calls. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. And we'll see what you think. And we come back. I'm going to play the segment for me. I'm going to take a couple calls. I'm going to play the segment. I'm not sure how many calls, but I'll take some calls and I'll play a segment of Angelo's conversation with Gabe Kapler. And we'll get your opinion. WIP, by the way, if you have a cell phone, it's #9494 on your AT&T service, the one that I know a lot of people use. If I use it, I know you use it. I've used it for a long, long time. And #9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time is now 8:16. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. Let's start off with Bill. Bill, you're on WIP. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Howard, thank you.
You got it. Calling all the way from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, you know that. That's good. Yeah. I have a question concerning the Segura play. I didn't actually see the play. I heard all about it. But from what I understand, it was a pop-up into the infield, and he let it drop. And where does the infield fly rule come
has to
in
be,
on that?
There has to be two men on base. There was only one.
Ah, that's infield, what it is.
And many people think, well, it's an infield fly rule. No, the umpire can rule the batter out if the fielder catches it in his glove and then purposely drops it because it's deceiving the runner. But he just let the ball drop without touching his glove. The umpire has no authority to really call that an out. And it's not the infield fly rule because there has to be two men on base. And there was
base,
only one.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
You got it. I'm just trying to explain that to people. Phyllis, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard.
Good morning.
I was also calling about the Segura thing.
Yep.
Yeah, everything just played out that happened. And again, he could have had a weak ACL or slight tear.
Yeah, I've seen ACL injuries with non-contact. And it's almost like I think now it's going to happen at some point. Carson Wentz's ACL injury, it was non-contact. He made it on the cut, not on any kind of hit. I think Sproles had an ACL hit the Super Bowl year. He broke his arm, but that was contact, but not the ACL. I can just go down the list. I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo's ACL. He was running out of bounds, and all of a sudden, it just went. They happen, and it's almost like it's going to happen. It just happened to happen on this play.
Right. I mean, and he did go down on knee, which he's doing a lot lately. Not sure why, because that's hard to get up and run if you do hit the ball.
Well, when you swing hard, I guess you lose balance. When you swing hard,
he did it numerous times and just recently. So
yeah, I mean, he needed
that,
to.
Saying that the other night.
Phyllis, he needed to get up and run hard. So
right.
So the second baseman didn't have that. But a batter doesn't think about it, but the batters shouldn't have to think about it. He should get up and run. I would have probably done things a little differently than Gabe Kapler, but I wouldn't have attacked Gabe Kapler the way Angelo did, and I'm going to play a part of that for you. I don't know if you heard
it. Yeah, I read it. I didn't hear it that day, but I read it like back and forth what they both said, and yeah, it sounded way too brutal. And also Gene felt really, really bad. And they said, Andrew and the teammates, don't blame him. And he said I think he had a couple sleepless nights. And he feels bad. And he did make a mistake, and he should have ran it out. But, yeah, I think he was also too hard on Gabe, and I want to hear what you're going to play anyway. But,
yeah, I'm going to play it in a little while. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Bye. All right, Phyllis, thank you. All right, let's go to Mike. You're on WIP.
I have a capital point also. But when it comes to the Jenkins thing, I think when it comes to contract, whether you underperform or overperform, nothing should be done. I say you play your contract out, after your contract's up, renegotiate. Like, what's the point of having a contract if you can rip them up halfway through?
Yeah, and let me just correct some incorrect comments, because I've heard them on the air, and I think I heard a few of them on the morning show. Jason Peters, the complaint is, well, they redid Jason Peters' contract. Yes, he got a reduction in pay. Jason Peters was due to make $11 million. It was reduced to $5 million. With, I think it's about $5 million in incentives, but it's not likely he'll receive those incentives. So it was reduced downward. So that
I have no problems with incentives.
Well, yeah, but no, but that's not the point. The point is his contract was reduced down. When Brandon Graham had a $6 million deal on his last year, which was last year, he came to camp, he played, and he was rewarded because he got a new contract. Not because he played, but because they needed him, and he played it out, and he did the right thing. When he did the year before, and they gave him these hocus-pocus incentives, which were $750,000 a year, that's irrelevant. Malcolm Jenkins, from what I understand, wants at least $5 million more in the first year of his contract. Number one, you can't do it. It's not good for your cap. He's 31 going on 32 years of age. He's slowed down. I know he's a solid player, but I agree with you, Mike. You
right.
sign a contract,
that's it.
And at that time, your contract puts you in a very good spot for safeties in the NFL. If you're going to redo contracts, every time there's new ones, and they always go up because the cap always goes up, you can't do that.
So what's the point of having them? Just do it year to year if you're going to keep tearing them up midway through. I don't understand that.
That's correct.
Kapler, is he obligated to go on that show or no?
Yes, I believe he is.
I was going to say, like, why would he even go on that show?
I believe just like Doug Peterson is obligated, when we're business partners with both the Eagles and the Phillies.
Gotcha.
And in those deals, I believe the manager and the head coach are part of those deals. Now,
okay,
I think Gabe gets paid for it. I'm not sure. I have no idea. But yes, I believe he is obligated to go on the show.
Okay, yes. Last thing, my father-in-law said something to me about 6-7 years ago, and it might be true. Do you think these athletes nowadays overtrain? Like, it just seems like they're, like, all muscle-bound. It seems like it just – I think he's got a point. I think they overtrain these athletes
nowadays. I don't know if it's overtraining, and that could be part of it. But what I think is players build up muscularly. They build up their body so much that the muscles get bigger. But the ligaments don't get any bigger, and you can't build up a ligament.
Don't they get tighter? Is my point?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. I appreciate the call.
Yep.
I don't know if they get tighter, but I think they become so strong that the muscles, like the ligaments, can't support how strong a player has gotten. All right, I'm going to, here's just a segment, and I want to get your comments on this too. A segment of Angelo's, I'll call it a conversation, interview, whatever you want to call it, and then I'll comment on it afterwards, and I would like you to comment on it as well from yesterday when Gabe Kapler came on the air, and the issue was blaming Segura for Andrew McCutcheon's injury. I'll talk about it afterwards. Here we go with it.
I don't consider it scapegoating when you lost your best player because he didn't run. You're not even acknowledging that him not running led to the injury to McCutcheon. You honestly don't see 1-1 equaling 2?
I absolutely do not see 1-1
equaling
2.
Wow, that's amazing.
What I see happen, like I said, Cutch stumbled out of the box. He didn't have his feet under him. Once he got his balance,
right,
he wasn't able to run as hard as he usually does. He acknowledged that, and talking about acknowledgement, I'm acknowledging that.
Okay.
He can do a better job running out of the batter's box.
Right.
I'm also acknowledging that our center fielder at the time, our leadoff hitter, got hurt in a major way, and that sucks. I'm saying it's not Segura's fault, and to say that it is absolutely irresponsible.
Oh, it is. Well, then you better tell the whole city because everybody thinks that was the reason.
You don't speak for the whole – Angelo, you don't speak for the whole city.
I talk to a hell of a lot more fans than you do.
You talk to the guys that call in, the men and women that call in.
And the ones that email me and the ones that are on Twitter and all the other people.
And that doesn't represent
all the fans. Are you trying to tell me you're more plugged into the city than I am? Is that what you're going to say?
Absolutely not.
You've been on the West Coast for a week, Gabe.
I'll tell you this. What you're plugged into are the people that call in to your show, not all of the fans of Philadelphia like you represent.
Yeah. We actually polled this question, and 85% of the people said that Segura should have been held accountable far more than you did. So that's over 5,000-6,000 people. That's not enough either for you, Gabe. How many do you need before you realize that you're actually not in tandem with what's going on in your own city?
Your sample, the sample that you're drawing from,
too small.
It's a very specific sample.
Too small. All right. Okay. One last thing. Would you do anything differently about this week, Gabe? You had to do it all over again.
I think the one thing that I would do differently is probably. I think I may have handled this show a little bit different. I think I got a little bit frustrated with you. I am very frustrated with you.
Okay.
And I might have handled the show different. Otherwise, I'd have to go back and look at everything in isolation. But right now, pretty perturbed. I think you didn't handle the show in a fair and reasonable way.
Okay.
And that's probably the thing I'm most disappointed in, is the way you handled the show.
Well, I'm disappointed in some of the answers, so I guess we're equal on that.
Gabe, sounds good. Look forward to next week, Angelo. This is going to be fun.
I'm counting the days.
Well, all right. So now that was only a segment of it, and I heard more. Now, again, this is me and the way I do things. You can ask, and I always believed, and people know this was my approach at news conferences. If I have somebody on the air, they're called guests, but you are well within your right to ask difficult and tough questions. And very poignant, difficult, and tough questions. But there's a point where you've got to say, all right, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And I don't believe tough questions sometimes are considered an attack, but the person coming on the air pretty much knows what's going to happen or what questions are going to be asked. But there's a point where you got to move on. And you can't dwell on it. He answered the question. Again, I would have done things a little bit differently with Segura, not because McCutchen got hurt, but because Segura didn't get up and bust it after he slipped in the batter's box. Slipping in the batter's box is kind of a part of this thing that you can't ignore. But I would have done things differently. I may have benched him after that. I may have sat him down the next day, even though you're limited now with your lineup because you lost McCutchen. Whatever. That would have been my opinion, and I would not have done it quite like Gabe did it. But that's not the point. The point is to go after Gabe Kapler with repeating the question, and it's not questions. It's you can have your opinion, and we all have our opinions, but I wouldn't have done it. That's just me. That's number one. But, you know, I wasn't sure how to think about that until I read the comments on social media. And I was amazed that as many people went after Angelo Gattaldi as did. I was amazed. I think earlier in the interview, talked about Jake Arrieta, and Gabe said he's consistent. I am not a fan of Jake Arrieta. But that's another story for another time. And he asked a question, and Gabe gave his opinion, which I don't always agree with Gabe when I talk to him when he has a session with the media people before usually each game, the early afternoon games. Yeah, I don't think he does it on the early afternoon games. But regardless of that, I have not agreed with Gabe Kapler. But then you kind of move on unless Gabe encourages you with a question of his own, which he has at times with me. But it's not about me. It's about this situation. But the point where I think Gabe was right, and I wouldn't say he's right all the time, and I'm not going to defend Gabe Kapler all the time, when Angelo basically said he's the voice of the fans, he's not the voice of the fans. You, everybody that calls, you are the voice of the fans because you are the fans. And when I have people, and I may not agree with you, and I may not agree with different things you say, I may agree with you and I may not, but you are the voice of the fans. We here at WIP give you the ability, and that's why this station is so successful. We give you the ability to be your own voice. And for somebody to say that they're the voice of the fan is not accurate and not correct. And I didn't realize, that's, again, my opinion, and I didn't realize how many people were pissed off by Angelo's approach in that area, saying he's not the voice of us. We are the voice of the fan. So your opinions, your comments, again, the Wentz contract, which I know people want to talk about. Let me go to Mike. Mike wants to talk about Wentz's contract. Mike, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Howard. How you doing?
I've never had a bad day in my life, Mike.
I feel, yeah, long-time fan, man. Been listening to you since the days back when I would ride around with my dad. He was a big fan as well, so
okay,
I appreciate
cool.
that. But listen, Wentz's contract, man, any concern about the injuries history here?
Nope.
I mean, to give a guy the deal?
Nope, because it's a great contract for a franchise quarterback. If you're going to worry about injuries, then you're never going to sign him. And you're going to sign him, I don't care. He still was signed for the next 2 years. All right, so if he's going to have an injury in the next 2 years, but the contract with the next 2 years in it, and Joe Banner made some comments, and I'm going to play those for you later in the show. I'll play them shortly. He makes a great point because the average keeps it well below what a franchise quarterback gets, and you can't worry about injuries. Let me just tell you this. The Eagles, I know, talk to their doctors. The Eagles believe that he should be fine. And again, any quarterback can get hurt. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo signed a contract. He had an ACL injury just running out of bounds. The doctors, I'm sure, believe that he's fine. I'll give you just an aside, and it's interesting that some of the Phillies players I talked to about the Eagles, and everybody has the same question about injuries. The Carson Wentz charity softball game. It was interesting to me, and I put it on my Twitter. I put the video on my Twitter. Carson Wentz didn't participate in the game. He was a coach. I think the Eagles preferred he didn't, but that's fine. But for warm-ups, for the home run hitting contest, and he didn't participate in that, Carson Wentz got in the cage, and he swung very hard. And if there's anything that would show you there's a problem with his back, the torque, whether it's a golf swing or a swing with a baseball bat, he had no effects. I've watched him at practice. No effects. No. To answer your question, I am not concerned with that because I believe health-wise, he will be fine as well as any quarterback can be.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, was just going to be, do you think that the Eagles organization has done their due diligence? I mean, you have the inside info on that, so I'll take your word on that.
Yeah,
but,
no question.
Listen, before I go, I just wanted to give you and your listeners a heads up. There's a not-so-well-known professional athlete, Hall of Fame-level professional athlete, who's in the Philly area. His name is Bill O'Neill. He's a professional bowler, Hall of Fame, first ballot lock Hall of Fame professional bowler, and he's been doing big things this year. He was on Fox last week bowling for $100,000. They've been replaying it all week.
Well,
so
you gave
everybody
him the
out
out.
There.
You gave him the shout-out. That's good.
No doubt. And listen, you guys need to have him on. I hit Spike on Twitter all the time and tell him to get this guy on.
Here's what you have to understand, Mike, and I understand it. And there's so many things that we can't cover because there's so many things that are important to our listeners. And in no way coming off negative, it's not something that most people really are interested in as far as we're concerned. If it's a feature, you know, television runs 12 hours of news. It could be a feature on a television station because they're just trying to fill time. We're not trying to fill time. We're trying to do what's most interesting for the people. And hopefully you understand that. And that's great. It's just hard. We only have a certain amount of time and there's only a certain amount of things that people want to talk about. All right. I will explain when we come back why the Phillies didn't sign Keuchel and why he was a good fit for the Atlanta Braves, and also Joe Banner explaining why the Carson Wentz contract is so, I don't know, people worry about the injuries. I worry about injuries to everybody. And if you have any questions about Carson Wentz, I want to hear your opinions, whether you like the contract, you don't like the contract, you like what the Eagles did, you don't like what the Eagles did. But we'll talk about that when we come back. 888-7, why do I forget the number? 794, is that right? 759? Why do I forget that? Every once in a while, I know it's 888. Go ahead. What's the number? Why do I forget the number?
888-729-9494.
Yeah, 729. I confuse those, dyslexic. 729-9494. All right. On your cell phone, it's #9494 on AT&T. And also on Verizon, it's #9494. WIP Sports Time is 840. And Philadelphians, taste the greatest collection of pizzerias ever assembled at the Pizzadelphia Pizza Festival. A lot of pizza in this. Pizzadelphia is out to prove that Philadelphia has the best pizza in the country. It's about the dough. Just like the hoagies, it's about the dough. And the dough's great, but the pizza's great, with over 20 iconic pizza brands like Santucci's, Franzone's, Tacanelli's, New Jersey. It's Pizzadelphia Saturday, June 15th at the Navy Yard. Get tickets at pizzadelphiafest.com. Buy yours now and get $5 off by entering promo code WIP. Get your tickets before Pizzadelphia sells out again. I went there last year. I ate too much pizza, but it's all so good. Just go to pizzadelphiafest.com. 94 WIP. Here on a Saturday morning. All right, let's head right back to the phones. And Mark, you're on WIP. Yo, Mark.
Hey, how's it going? Mark from Wilmington.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
All right, I just want to talk about...
Hope things are great in Wilmington.
I'm sorry?
I said, I hope things are great in Wilmington.
Oh, man, I lived here all my life. I love it. Great. But anyway, I just want to talk about Kapler a little bit, and not really about Angelo or Kapler, but just Kapler in general.
Yeah, okay.
I think his major problem is that he doesn't stay long enough with his starters. And I think that's why 7 to 9 guys are on injured reserve. And I think this is a definite problem. I think they'd probably be about 15 to 20 games over 500 if he would do that.
Well, hold it. I'm going to take care of your last comment. They would not be 15 to 20 games over 500. So let's just relax here. They're not the elite teams. The Phillies are a good team. They're not an elite team. They're not
going to be. What are they, 12 games over now?
I don't know. They just won 3 in a row. What are they? They went down to 7. I think they're about 10 over.
Okay.
That's 5 to 10 wins is not realistic. But so I'm addressing that. As far as the starters, it's unfortunate. And I think sometimes Gabe Kapler does not go long enough.
Okay.
However, that's a problem in baseball. Somebody brought up the other day the Phillies should have Cole Hamels. And I know he pitched really well. I think it was yesterday. And said he's an innings eater. You know what Cole Hamels is averaging? Now, we remember what he was. Averaging per start.
I'd say 7 innings.
Nope. Less than 6.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's the way of baseball now because everybody carries 8 relief pitchers. I think it's ridiculous, but analytics say once you get to the third time in the lineup, you got to think about removing the starter and bringing in relief pitchers, whether it's 1/3, 2/3, or an inning. That's going to change next year because there's going to be a rule that when you bring in a relief pitcher, he has to pitch to at least 3 batters, and that rule goes into effect next year.
Which is a good rule, I think.
I think it's a great rule. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. This, like what Oakland used to do with one pitcher for one batter, that has to end. It's as simple as that.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. But
okay, that was my point.
It's inherent in baseball that managers don't go as long with starters.
Well, let me tell you this. Another
and I don't know what the injuries. I mean, it looks like Sir Anthony's going to be out for the season. That's Tommy John surgery. Now, whether he waits and tries to pitch with it, he's going to have surgery at some point, so he might as well just get it done now. And he's getting a second opinion, but it's like likely with that ligament that's the ligament for Tommy John surgery. He's likely going to have Tommy John surgery, whether it's now or it's going to be at the end of the season, but you might as well get it done now because you just don't know how severe it's going to be and affect him. If he lets it rest, comes back, and then goes through the same thing again, might as well just get it done.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they should have gotten Kimbrel or Conkle?
Nope. I don't want Kimbrel. I don't want to waste money on a closer because that's not their biggest issue right now. They need a starter, and they need another outfielder. They need another player. So they need two players before they need the closer. The closer is, and I wasn't in love with Kimbrel. The second half of the season or the end of the season, he did not pitch well. He walks a lot of guys. Is he better than what they have? Yeah, probably. But is it enough to go out and pay him that kind of money, which could be restrictive in signing other players because you're paying him that kind of money? I'm okay with not signing Kimbrel. Now, let me explain, and that's just their choice, why they did not sign Keuchel. Keuchel pitches, and I've heard this from two baseball, I was talking to two baseball people, and they expressed their opinion. Keuchel is another one of those pitchers that pitches to contact. That's one of the reasons I don't like Jake Arrieta, but he pitches to contact. So you need to have a good defensive team behind him. The Phillies are at best an average defensive team. They're better than they were last year, but average. The Atlanta Braves are a terrific defensive team. So he fits with the Atlanta Braves because they're a terrific defensive team. And two people in baseball had mentioned that to me. And that's the reason he really is good for the Braves, but not as good for the Phillies. And I'll say this again, and I said it this week with Joe Santalagilio. People don't even know what I'm talking about. He gets on Carson Wentz like that foolish story that was written about Carson. But anyway, let me get into it. I think they will do better in a trade. And I don't care about trading minor league players. They're suspects, not prospects. Stuart, you're on WIP.
Yeah, just a reminder to you and some of the callers about NFL contracts. If someone signs a five-year NFL contract, it's not a five-year contract. It's 5 one-year contracts.
Now, let me explain to you there. Yes, they can get rid of him, but then they're strapped with so much. The signing bonus gets stretched out over the contract. So if you sign a player, in the case of Carson Wentz, he obviously got a signing bonus. I don't know what it is, but it stretches out. So if you get rid of him after the first year, you are really buried. You are buried with his signing bonus. So when they sign a player, especially a player at that level, a good player, and you give him a signing bonus, you really got to keep him in most cases for 2 to 3 years. So although you technically can get rid of that player, the signing bonus pretty much prevents you, because you already got that money and it's spread out over the contract, prevents you from getting rid of a player after just 1 year.
You would think so, but some teams would ask for money back when they cut a player.
No. They ask for money back when the player either is injured off. There's been players that, if you're injured away from football activities, away from the organization, they are not responsible. That's when they ask for money back. When you decide that you're going to, they don't ask for money back when they cut the guy. They ask for money back when the player decides he's not going to play anymore. It was the linebacker for San Francisco. Bowman was his name, I think. He decided he was going to quit football and he got money. Well, why should he keep the signing bonus? No, they don't ask for money. You're wrong with that too. I hate to be the one to correct you on all these things. They don't ask for signing bonus money when they cut him back. They can't do that. Now, if there's other situations where you're injured away from the football field and they're not responsible, or you retire early and they've given you a signing bonus, that's when they can do it, not when they just cut you.
Okay, but with regards to Malcolm Jenkins, though, when he's not reporting to camp, he's under contract, but it's one-year contracts.
Okay, so he's only got 2 years left anyway. Here's the reality of that situation. He's going to get $8.5 million this year. $8.5 million is eighth among safeties. He obviously, from what I've been told, he wants to be paid like the top two or three. He's 31 years old. You can't extend you to do that. You'd have to extend it. Why would you extend Malcolm Jenkins' contract when he is slowed down? There's matchup problems when teams put other players in motion and they single Malcolm on a player that he just can't cover. It's just he's going to get $8.5 million this year. He knew when he signed the contract what the deal was. He was paid very well when he signed the contract. Do they have to keep him the second year? No, they don't have to. He's got 2 years left. Do they have to keep him the second year? No, but teams are paying on what they project as future performance. At 31 years old, for a player who is still good, but is slowed down, you're not going to give a player an extension like Malcolm Jenkins. There's no buts to it.
But future performance, they could cut him. If they don't like him, they could come and owe him nothing.
They're going to pay him $8.5 million this year.
Right, for this year.
Okay, right. And he's only got 2 years left. So they could cut. He knew when he signed the contract what it was at the end of that contract. Yeah, and so what? He's making $8.5 million. He's making $8.5 million. Yeah, they can cut. You know, Stewart's whole approach to that conversation was they can cut him. And Malcolm Jenkins, remember, got a signing bonus when he signed. He liked the contract when he signed. WIP Sports Time, 856. 94, WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. Hour number two, where, as we just talked about, Malcolm Jenkins. I think Malcolm Jenkins has about zero leverage. He will be back. If he wants to sit out the whole year, he will never make that money back up, never get it back. And you signed a contract, and I don't want to hear contracts aren't guaranteed. Malcolm Jenkins has made over $35 million in his career. It's pretty good. If you're just going to re-sign or want to do a new contract when somebody else signs, everything goes up. Everything goes up because the cap goes up. So every time there's a new contract, are you going to want to renegotiate every time there's a new contract? Malcolm Jenkins is eighth in safeties in the NFL. When he signed the contract, he liked it. I don't want to hear that they're not guaranteed. It's guaranteed for this year. He's going to be there this year for $8.5 million. And if he plays well, he'll be there the next year. And that's the way the contracts work. But when he got a signing bonus, he knew he was going to be here for a few years. And that's the way it works in the NFL. I don't want to hear, well, the contracts are not guaranteed. I don't really care. But that's not why Malcolm Jenkins wants, from what I'm told, wants more money. He wants more because he wants to be paid like the top two or three safeties in the NFL. And he's not anymore one of the top two or three safeties in the NFL, and he's good. But you pay for your future. At 31, it's pretty hard to pay a guy and extend. That's the way they do it, and extend the contract. After, I believe, the date is July 15th, I don't think he can redo the contract for this year. You just can't do it. It's a rule of the NFL. So, and then there's possibly a work stoppage. So is Malcolm Jenkins going to think about factor that in? Is Malcolm Jenkins going to sit out and threaten to miss this year? And the Eagles are smart enough. They'll get somebody smart enough to miss this year and then not have a next year if the threats by the union, and I don't think they're going to be, it's going to be a strike or a work stoppage. But nonetheless, he may never own another dollar if he doesn't come in this year. Malcolm Jenkins has no leverage. Get in there and play. You signed a contract. We talked about the Carson Wentz deal, which is good. I'm going to play Joe Banner coming up shortly. He was on the Rich Eisen show. He thought it was a great deal. The way they set it up, it gives them the ability the way they sign him with 2 years left on his contract and the extension to sign other players. It doesn't kill them with their cap. Obviously, we talked about Keuchel and Kimbrel. We talked about the Gabe Kapler interview with Angelo, where I think the people were more pissed off that Angelo said he's the voice of the fans, and the fans don't say that. Toronto wins last night. They're up 3-1 in the series. The star hunting that the Sixers were doing went to Toronto. They got the stars. They're in the finals, and the Sixers are not. And Joe Douglas has taken the job with the Jets. Sorry to see him go. It happens in the NFL. Congratulations to Joe Douglas, and hopefully the Eagles, and they have people in place they think can do that job. But Joe Douglas can only go up with his job with the Jets because they're so pathetic. And coming out of the woodwork, where have you been, the Congressman Bob Brady?
Howard, how are you, man? I've been down there. I haven't seen you. I was down there three, 4 times.
I've been there every time. Yep.
Get out. I was with Big Don with his bad arm and all. I was down to see you.
Okay.
You know?
But all right.
How you doing? You okay?
I'm great. I've never had a bad day in my life. I'm great.
God bless you, man. I wish I was you. When I get bigger, I want to be just like you.
Yeah, sure you do. Sure. What's happening?
So how you doing? How do you think about Carson Wentz? I like what you're saying about.
I love the deal.
I do too.
Because it allows them to sign other players the way it's structured, and to do other things, and you do it now. That's why they did it now, because you have the 2 years that he's already under contract. So the way it works out, it's about $25 million a year, which doesn't kill you for a franchise quarterback. And
it doesn't kill the cap.
Right, doesn't kill the cap.
That's good. I'm coming down on. I'll probably come down about Tuesday. You will be down there.
Tuesday, I will be there. Yes, it's mandatory.
I'll go look for you.
All right.
I'll go look for. I want to catch your outfit.
Okay. Genius.
God bless.
Hey,
man.
Thanks for calling. You too. You too. All right. Let's go to Rob. You're on WIP.
Morning, Howard.
Good morning.
I want to ask about Scott Tingery.
Yep.
What do you think about his future playing time? Does he get a full time position, and can he be a leadoff hitter?
Well, I don't know about a leadoff hitter. If Hernandez is not here, you know, I don't know about a leadoff hitter, because we don't know when he is definitely the starter at a position every day. I don't know what players are on the team. So I'm not sure about. I don't know that they want him at leadoff, but if they trade Hernandez, and I like Hernandez, then Scott Kingery will be the second baseman. He's got a shot. But I think Scott Kingery is a good player. There's no question he's a good player.
I wanted to ask you about one of your favorite callers. But first, Seattle Times reports that Dee Gordon is on the block. What do you think about him as a possibility for an outfielder?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I mean, right. Seattle's going to be getting rid of players. I'm going to give you a name on the Seattle pitching staff. Mike Leek. He's a right-hander, but they're dumping players left and right.
Right.
And Mike Leek's coming off a great outing, and he's a good pitcher. He's not a left-hander, but keep an eye out for Seattle trading Mike Leek. But Dee Gordon, I'm not doing cartwheels on getting Dee Gordon. Kevin, you're on WIP.
Hey, I have a question about Kapler and Angelo from earlier. So I agree with Angelo, actually, that Segura's lack of running it out leads to the injury. But
well, I don't agree with that, because I think ACL injuries are so freakish without contact. I think eventually that McCutchen would have had the ACL injury, but it was a cause and effect. He didn't run it out, and that's what happened. Regardless, we got to move past that. And I think McCutchen, based on what I've seen with ACL injuries, just happen. They just happen.
Well, I agree with you, and I agree with Kapler, that there's a thousand other things that also led to it.
Yeah, so I can't go back. Yeah, I won't go back. It's like if somebody has an accident on the road, if you left 2 minutes earlier, you wouldn't have the accident. You can't think about things like that. So
I don't agree
with Gabe on that. What's that?
I don't think either one of them is wrong. I think they both have a great point, and I think they see eye to eye.
Well, here's the disagreement I have with the way it was done. Once you ask the question, and Gabe Kapler answers the question, you can't go in. You shouldn't. You can do whatever you want. It's his show. I would not go into attack mode. I would ask the question, and then once he answers the question, you can't keep on harping on it and go into attack mode. And what I saw on social media, again, that's not end-all, be-all. The fans were kind of pissed off that Angelo said he's the voice of the fans in so many words. And they said he's not the voice. You are the voice. Everybody that calls up, you are the voice. We are just here to kind of engineer the fans through it. That's pretty much what it is. And, you know, I see fans out in public. It's interesting. I'm walking out of the Phillies, out of Citizens Bank Park the other day, and I see this guy all the time. He's a security guy, and he doesn't like Wentz, and he loves Foles. And he tells me they shouldn't have given Wentz the contract. Foles should be the one here. And that's way out of bounds. I love Nick Foles, and I love what he did. But some people, and this is what he expressed himself. My point is, I see people all the time that express themselves, and they are the voice. I don't agree with it, but you are the voice, and people are the voice.
I think that's well put.
Okay. Hey, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
How are you?
Hey, Howard. I'm doing well. You know what? You really see who the true voice is, but if people attack an Angelo, that's the voice.
Well,
not
the voice,
him.
No, Angelo has a say. We have our opinions.
No, I mean, he's not the voice of the people, though.
Well,
anyway.
And I'm not the voice of the people. Nobody this radio station as a host is the voice of the people. The people are the voice of the people. They're the voice of the fans.
But he was a little too hard on Gabe, and you saw not a lot of people come to Gabe's defense. They did in that case.
Yeah, which surprised me that it was a large amount, a very large amount of people came to his defense. Yes.
Yeah. Can you? And you said your point is great. I always bring it up the managers don't win games; they lose them.
Correct. Yes.
That's the correct thing. And can you believe the idiots in this city, the coddlers of Ben Simmons, that wouldn't have traded him for Kawhi Leonard? They're
But they would now.
Generational talent.
But they would now. But they wouldn't have done it when I said it during the offseason.
Hey, I remember you were saying it. Yeah. I remember, and I think of any person with a right mind that would have made that move.
When Brett Brown said he was going out and he was star hunting, he missed on every account, and I think he had a chance to get Kawhi Leonard. If you offer Ben Simmons, you have a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, and Sixers would have been in the finals right now had they done that. All right, the Carson Wentz contract. And I think it was a terrific deal by the Eagles. It's a cap-friendly deal in the world of what franchise quarterbacks get paid. They get paid over $30 million. It's a cap-friendly deal. The way it's set up, the Eagles did a terrific job. It's a win-win situation. Carson's got over $107 million guaranteed. The contract's like $154 million for the next 6 years. Whether he fulfills them or not, he's got That's the whole point. People say, oh, contracts aren't guaranteed. He's got $107 million guaranteed. $107 million. So it's good for Carson, but it's the way it's set up by the Eagles doing it now. It allows them to use the 2 years he's got currently on his contract to help with the average number on this contract. I don't know exactly how it's done. Joe Banner tried to explain this, and we're going to play Joe Banner. He tried to explain this on the Rich Eisen show. I don't know if he's got a podcast or what, but you got to follow Joe a little bit. He gets a little carried away with the numbers, but just understand, try to piece out of it what he's trying to say. All right, this is Joe Banner with Rich Eisen.
How should fans view this contract that the Eagles signed Carson Wentz to, Joe?
Well, if you're rooting for the Eagles, you should be very, very, very happy.
Why is that?
Simple. So here's the simple way to look at it. There's $66 million in guaranteed money at the time of signing in the deal. Between this year and next year, the Eagles already owed him $31 million, which was essentially guaranteed. Not literally, but essentially. There's no scenario. He could go out and tear his ACL tomorrow. There's no scenario in which he's not making that $31 million. So for an additional $35 million, just think about that in today's NFL, for the additional $35 million, they control his rights for an extra 4 years. I mean, that's half of the guaranteed money Khalil Mack got. And I personally think this is a perennial Pro Bowl, potential Hall of Fame quality quarterback if he can stay healthy. So for $35 million, even including the obvious health risk and health history, I don't think you could buy anything where the downside was less and the upside was more than 4 years of his rights for a $35 million guarantee. That in worst case scenario, you put a dent in your future budgets. In the best case scenario, you have a quarterback for 6 years at, in today's market, very reasonable prices.
Well, in terms of that, Joe, his cap number, how much, if it does obviously work out to the best case scenario for the Eagles, that he stays healthy and he earns his salary every single year, the way that fans see this number, $107 million in guarantees total, or $100 million, a huge contract, $32 million a year, the idea is that he eats up too much cap space, so the team can't really build around this quarterback to get back to the Super Bowl. What do you say to that?
So there's two things that they did here, very smart, and frankly, part of the Eagles' pattern in history for a long time. By doing the deal 2 years early, they put part of his cap money into the next 2 years. So in the going forward basis, in the 4 new years he has, his cap will actually average significantly less than the $32 million because they're eating part of it now. So let's just say they reduce that number to, say, an effectively $26, $27 million average for the 4 new years. If you take $26 or $27 million over what the cap will be 3 years from now, you'll see that that's actually an incredibly modest percentage and a far better position than almost anybody in the league will be in who has a top-quality quarterback. Even the unsigned guys, even if you go to the Mariottas and the Prescotts, forget even, you know, the Goffs and the Mahomes who are going to get massive contracts. That $26, $27 million per year as a percentage of a cap that by the time it kicks in will be over $200 million and blowing towards $250 million will be extremely manageable for a team with a quality quarterback. Now, you know, a quality quarterback should be making up for some deficiencies in some other places. So that's the way they've done it, by doing it 2 years early, by putting part of the cap charge in the next 2 years. When they get to the 4 new years, I'm not saying it won't matter. I'm not saying they won't have to be smart about hitting on some draft picks and managing the rest of the roster. But they will be in a significantly better cap position to manage that than any of the other teams will have a premium quarterback.
You know, when you kind of look at the way they did this, again, it's good. I thought it was $107 million guaranteed, and that's the way it was initially reported. But from what Joe says, it's only $66 million guaranteed. Now, don't feel sorry for Carson Wentz, that out of the next 6 years when he could make $154 million, he's only going to get $66 million will take care of Carson Wentz the way he is prudent and the way he does things. Carson Wentz, I don't think, is a big spender. But I don't care how he spends his money. That's $66 million if that's the number that's guaranteed. But it's likely, it's very likely that he'll make more than that. And it's likely that the Eagles, as Joe explains it, can manage, they will manage the cap better in terms of signing new players. And that's what you always want to do. And that's another reason I'm not giving Malcolm Jenkins, from what I understand, he wants $5 million more for this year. You can't just throw away that money because you're going to need it, whether you trade for players, whether you sign players this year, and I believe you're allowed to sign extensions with players, I think, until halfway through the season. But more than what people don't understand, if you don't spend the money you have left on your cap this year, you can roll it into the following year when you may want to go out and get a free agent. You may want to trade for a player who makes money. Whatever the case may be, that money can be used to keep this team very, very, not just relevant, but a contender for years to come. And Carson Wentz now is the piece that allows you to do that, and to manage the cap properly allows you to get more players over the next few years. This team has a chance to go to the Super Bowl for the next 5 years. There's no question. They have a good chance to go to the Super Bowl for the sometime at least once or twice in the next 5 years. You're not going to go every year. Although the division is not quite as bad as the division the Patriots played in for years, but I don't think they're very good, the division. But nonetheless, it gives you the ability. So this is two, I'm talking about two things here. Carson Wentz contract allows you to go out and sign players because you can manage his number. And Malcolm Jenkins, you can't give him that money because you're going to need that over time for players that will be with your team for years ahead, rather than a player in the case of Malcolm Jenkins, who might only be here for another 2 years. It's all he's got left on his contract is 2 years, and we don't know where he's going to be. And solid player, but he's lost some speed, and he's really a linebacker and not a safety. So you've got to think about the way they're doing things. And any money that you don't spend on this year's cap, there's ways to roll it over into the next year to be able to go out and get players. Hopefully people understand that and understand why the two situations, the Carson Wentz situation is good, and why you can't give the kind of money that Malcolm Jenkins wants to him right now. It's just, you're just wasting your money. And Malcolm's going to be in. I guarantee you Malcolm will be playing for, barring a trade. Malcolm, and if for some reason, and I'm not saying they are, and I have no knowledge that they would do that, barring a trade, and if they trade him, they're going to get somebody to fill that role. Barring a trade, Malcolm Jenkins will be with the Eagles this year without getting a renegotiated contract, which is, I think, would be foolish on the Eagles' part. 94 WIP 729-888-729. 9494 on your cell phones on that AT&T service that I've been using for a long time, and I'm sure many people out there have. It's #9494, and on Verizon, same thing, #9494. WIP Sports Time 921. 94 WIP. You know, one of the things I haven't mentioned is the Sixers got rid of the zoologist. Their zoologist, well, their doctor of zoology, which is their director of sports science. Well, I don't even know what the titles are anymore. Dr. David Martin, a nice fellow from Australia, but it just kind of misplaced. Really kind of misplaced. It was kind of a joke, but he's gone and Dr. Medina's gone, who's a regular doctor. When you blame the doctors, you can't blame the doctors for the problems. You cannot blame the doctors for the problems. You just can't. So, but they do. It's kind of interesting. And I think the doctors they have, I mean, the zoologist, Dr. Martin, he's a doctor of zoology. I thought was out of place there. But the other doctors, I think, are very good medical doctors in their field. But the Sixers, it's kind of interesting. The medical group, I think it's Rothman Jefferson, have to pay the Sixers for the doctors to be there. So I don't know that they're going to get rid of any of the other doctors. And they shouldn't. Let me just make that clear. They shouldn't. But anyway, so they got rid of two doctors because they're paid by the medical group, so they're not going to get rid of anybody else. But it's too easy to blame the doctors. The situation in Philadelphia is really good with camp coming up next week, the mandatory camp. Then they're off, and everything is going to be fine. Trust me, everything is going to be fine. Preseason will come up. The regular season is going to come up. The Eagles only have one plane trip the entire second half of the season. It's amazing. After those three straight road games, they only get on a plane once. They have a bus trip and a train trip. And that's really an advantage for teams. And then they'll have one of those joint practices again this year. And this will be with the Baltimore Ravens before they play their preseason game here. So that'll be kind of an interesting side lake to the whole thing. Let me go back to the phones. And Chuck, you're on WIP.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. Do you want to start with the good?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's happy at 36 and 27, first place. And I also think that the cluster of games that they've just gone through, a very difficult part of their schedule, probably will end up being the most difficult part of their schedule. They fared very well. Some come-from-behind wins, played some tough teams, didn't do so well against the Dodgers. They don't match up against that lefty lineup. I don't think anybody does with right-handed
pitch. Dodgers are the best team in the National League. I mean, it's not a question.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But overall-wise, you have to be happy with the Phillies in first place at this date. I mean, how could you not be? Now, on the negative side, you know, the home runs are a big problem. Hoskins and Harper right now, believe it or not, and I say believe it or not because this is pretty unbelievable, are ranked. Harper's no longer ranked in the top 200 WAR. He's below it at 0.8.
You know what's amazing? If the Phillies, if they're heading, well, they were going to get Jay Bruce anyway.
Right.
So, and that was good. He's not going to hit for much of an average. He's going to be
give me some home runs.
He's a streaky hitter. He hits home runs, which they lack in that area. They lack hitting home runs. And so he helps there. And I don't want to say the McCutchen injury was good. And don't take this, and nobody should take this the wrong way. But if McCutchen didn't get hurt, Jay Bruce would play occasionally and come off the bench. And I don't know that, I don't think they would have won that last game in San Diego.
Hey, listen, the world of unintended consequences, you're exactly right. And I want to get, that's part of the ugly. I just want to save that for a second. But, no, when you mention home runs, just to quantify, 75 home runs is almost dead last. You got to throw out Miami, you know, and all the dregs down there. But of the competitive teams over 500, they're dead last. Yeah, but that's Hoskins and Harper. If you look at Harper's season to date, you know, 63 games, he's having his second to third worst season ever. Let me just throw this at you real quick. His batting average is 250. His life average is 277, second worst. 355 on base percentage against 385 life. All right? His slugging percentage is way below. I won't bore you with all the numbers. And the all-important OPS, he's 830 versus a lifetime 895. He's going to strike out over 200 times. So right now he's on pace for his second or third worst season ever. And that's a problem. We're not producing runs because your power hitters aren't getting the job done. He's below 200 in WAR. He's right alongside of Merrill Kelly. Do you know who Merrill Kelly is?
No, I have no idea.
I don't. Here's another problem. Send up a pinch hitter once in a while, and we're batting 163 off the bench, way down.
Well, but here's the problem in baseball, and this is a big, as far as I'm concerned, it's a big problem. When you have eight relief pitchers, you only have four players on the bench.
You're right, Howard. You
and it's
right
just, that. And you, yep, you don't have much to choose from. So
right,
when you have those players on the bench, now the Phillies need a better backup catcher. So, and I guess Kingery is the emergency catcher. So you still have Kingery. So if you use the catcher as the pinch hitter, sometimes you cut yourself short because you don't have a catcher. If you use him and then something happens to your starting catcher. So that's
right,
a problem. So they've got to improve their bench, which they did with Bruce, but now he's not their bench. Now he's going to play every day.
Yeah, so, Kingery's no longer your bench. Kingery's got to be playing every
day.
Well,
Franco, for two years I wanted to get rid of Franco.
So did I. Hey, listen, we've been agreeing with that.
He's not a good defensive player, and people think he is. And he got no range, among other things. And I think since the middle of May, he's hitting under 110.
It's 103, something like that. If I told you McCutchen was the second highest on the team in OPS, he'd probably be a little bit surprised by that.
Probably not really.
Yeah. And on the road, the Phillies are a -3 in run differential. All the good teams
Here's the problem with the Phillies. The problem is they need a starting pitcher, for sure. They need a consistent lineup, and I don't know how – it's not like you're going to add anybody to the lineup. You have what you have. These are the players you have. But you need another bench player, so either Bruce or you need another outfielder, whether it's Bruce or somebody else to play every day, which is an upgrade, you might get more consistency. Gabe Kapler, because he had to, broke up Harper and Hoskins, and that you really needed to do that because there's two strikeout guys together. So he did that because McCutchen got hurt. So there's all different kinds of things you have to look at. But, yes, Harper has to hit better. Hoskins is going into a slump. And I know he's hit the ball hard at times, but it doesn't matter. Base hits are base hits. Hoskins has got to hit better. Odubel Herrera is bye-bye. And
he's gone bye-bye. You win that dinner bet for life, okay?
Yeah,
we
have
that
opportunity,
right? Yeah, we got that. All right. Now, listen, before we get caught, I just want to very quickly touch on the ugly. I got the chills listening to that radio exchange because, number one, just three quick points.
What you're talking about, Angelo and Kapler?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can sum up that in three words, and it's Angelo never coached. I can tell you that right now. And he may have, and I may be dead wrong. You may know better. But I'll tell you what, if he's looking for the Phillies manager to assert that's correlating to Segura directly and throw him under the bus, that's never going to happen. Andy Reid would have never done that. Dougie would have never done that. It just doesn't
Chuck, here's what I'm going to tell you. I would have maybe done something a little bit differently. You're not throwing him under the bus. You're setting an example, whether it's taking him out of the game at that point, and other managers do it, or not playing in the next game, and I know you're short now because you lost McCutchen.
It's hard to do.
I believe you got to send a little bit of a message, but
the first time, Howard, want to put it back on you, Howard. If you come out of the box or you're playing any sport and you go down, it doesn't have to be baseball. If you're playing wiffle ball today and you fall, let me ask you something, Howard, common sense. Do you get up and charge at 100% or do you assess where you are after that fall?
Well, here's the problem with today's players. Number one, they're too sensitive. Because football's the only sport that a head coach, if he wants to sit a guy because he doesn't like what he did, if he's late for him, do you think if the Phillies had a meeting and they were late that Gabe Kapler would sit the guy? They'll do it in football. A head coach in football, if he's a good head coach, he'll do it in football. He won't tell anybody. He won't tell anybody.
You're right.
But you'll know that he didn't start for a reason, and people will figure it out.
But in baseball, they're too sensitive. But why did the players love Charlie Manuel so much?
Hey, let me just break the news to you. They love Charlie because he let him alone and let him play. But everybody talks about Charlie Manuel, and he's a fine fella, and he's a really good guy, and I get all that. They had five players that year they won the World Series. They were playing for contracts. Five. And
don't tell me how well baseball managed...
I think a football head coach and a hockey head coach are the two most important people as head coaches because the head coach has to make decisions within 20 seconds all the time. You got to change lines.
Sure.
Basketball, it's so long now. It's just shooting threes. It's just become a joke. But in baseball, you just sit back. If you get a good pitcher, just sit back and just watch him pitch. And you just hope your players do the right thing. You don't bunt anymore, and I guess I'm okay with that. You don't steal a lot of bases anymore. I don't know that I'm okay with that.
But they have 17 steals, Howard. That's too low. They're not running.
I don't want to get into that point. But my point is, a baseball manager doesn't have to do much anyway. But you got to be able to discipline. Hey, listen, I think Angelo was out of line with what he did.
Line.
He went too far with it.
Yep.
And I believe that. And I have differences with Gabe Kapler. And we've had him in his office when the media have been there. So, but I understand all that.
My last question before you dump me. Yes or no, would Angelo have had that tone with his Eagles head coach, just yes or no?
I think yes. If he wants to prove a point, I think no.
I've never heard it.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing.
I've never heard it.
He's criticized, but he didn't go after him the way he went after Kapler because he made such an issue of it during the week that he was going to go after him. But yeah, he would do it. But here's the thing: when you do it, and I'm going to tell you a Randy Wolf story. You remember Randy Wolf? And when we come back, I'm going to tell you a Randy Wolf story.
Okay.
And he made a great point. And the point is about when you make comments on the air, you've got to be there to face the guy, whether it's a player or a head coach or a coach. And that's something I've always done. But it was an interesting. Randy Wolf came at me hard years ago. It has to be 20 years ago. And he remembered every detail of it when I saw him the other day.
Really?
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you something. Anecdotal stuff that you bring up, you ought to do more often along with the radio clips.
Yeah.
You know, we go back in time. I realize I'm 65 and I'm ancient and all that. But you got a treasure trove of
I'm going to tell you other people the story. But the point he made is something that is really important when you go, Marion Campbell was the head coach of the Eagles at one time. And in talking to players, they just didn't respect him anymore. And I said, I believe I said it on TV and maybe I said it on radio as well, that I think they've got to move on and change the head coach. I was there at the news conference the next day. Marion Campbell called me aside and asked me, and I was willing to talk to him about it when I've gone after, but well, I'll talk about it when we come back. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. By the way, I'm going to the garage sale, the WIP garage sale at PJ Willihan's on, what's it, Route 70 in Cherry Hill. When I get off the air, it's there all day. And the money raised from all this stuff, because we're moving, I don't want to move, but we are moving, and they're cleaning out a lot of stuff, and it all benefits the Pennsylvania SPCA. 94 WIP, the time is 9:41, and Philadelphians taste the greatest collection of pizzerias ever assembled at the Pizzeria Pizza Festival, or the Pizzadelphia. There's so much pizza in Pizzadelphia, Pizza Festival, whatever. Pizzadelphia is out to prove that Philly has the best pizza in the country, with over 20 iconic pizza brands like Santucci's, Franzone's, Tacanelli's New Jersey. Pizzadelphia, Saturday, June 15th, that's next week, at the Navy Yard. Get tickets at pizzadelphiafest.com. Buy yours now and get $5 off by entering promo code WIP. Get your tickets, eat your pizza before Pizzadelphia sells out again. Just go to pizzadelphiafest.com. 94 WIP. All right, let me tell you the Randy Wolf story. And I've had other situations with players, and you always got to talk it out with them in some way. And it's never good on the phone or on the air when you have a difference. It's always good in person. It has to be at least 20 years ago. And the fact that I remembered where it was, I kind of touched on it the other night with Joe Dilio, but Randy Wolf was in for the celebration of life for David Montgomery at the ballpark the other day. And then there was a dinner the other night. It's the Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis Foundation to raise money to help kids go to baseball camps. And it's a really good thing. Ruben Morrow's involved. They had some of the two current players that I remember there were Nola and Ikoff, some former players, and Randy Wolf was one of them. So we talked about it at length. Talked about it briefly before the ceremony the other day. And it was at the vet. There was from the dugout or from the locker room to the dugout, there was a walkway to walk to the dugout. I don't know how long it was, but like there is everywhere. So there was a walkway. In the walkway, Randy Wolf cornered me and just unloaded. I don't remember all the things he said, but he was in my face. I was, in his face. Then Raul Cormier, another pitcher, joined in, and Jose Mesa, which had another issue because I called him a wimp on the air. because after a guy hit a home run, he threw and hit the next batter. It's just being a wimp. It wasn't the next batter's fault. So whatever the case may be. So Randy Wolf started and went off. I remembered exactly where it was. He remembered in detail everything about it. And he asked me the other night when I saw him at the dinner, says, do you remember what it was all about? I says, you know, honestly, I don't remember what it was about, but I remember exactly where I was, exactly what happened, but I don't remember what the situation was. There were quotes, anonymous quotes in the newspaper. Larry Bowe was the manager. There were anonymous quotes in the newspaper from a player. And people believe, and it was criticizing Boa, and people believed it was Randy Wolf. So I expressed that on the air, that it looks like, you know, could be Randy Wolf. Well, he went off because he swears it wasn't him to this day, and I believe him now, and I guess I believed him then. And he went off on me. The fact that he remembered it is amazing. But one thing he said, the fact, and we get along fine now. I actually got along with his brother, who's an umpire. I said, I got along with your brother better than I got along with you at the time. He said, no, after that, I got it off my chest. There was no problem. But he made this point, and other people have made this point. When you say something, whether it's a player, a manager, a head coach, and you say something about that person and you criticize him, I always believed that I should be there and show up. Because if they want to, and I've had people say something to me, Todd McGraw was a situation, not getting out of another time. You should be there if that player, manager, or head coach wants to address it with you. You should be there. And sometimes it was tough for me. I knew I was a hard or tough on somebody, but you should be there to accept anything that they want. If they want to talk about it with you, Jason Worth was another one. I'll explain that story. It's something now we're good friends, but you should be there and address that person face to face. And Randy Wolf said, he says, I respected that about you. I got it off my chest. No problem. I've had other people say the same thing. And I always felt it was important for me to be there. Now I know that people can do what they want with their lives and the way they approach their jobs. But I always believe when we say something on the air, I call it hit and run. We should be there. And a lot of people don't go there for whatever reasons. And I'm not telling them what they should or shouldn't do. But I think when you do that, it's always good to show up. So if they want to address it with you face to face, they have the ability to do that. And I think that's important. And Randy Wolf had said that to me as well. Murph, you're on WIP.
Morning, King. How you doing?
Another day in paradise. Never had a bad day.
Don't forget to finish your Swamp Fox story there, unless I missed it.
What's that?
Marion Campbell. I don't know if you got a chance to finish that.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I said he should be fired, and he talked to me the next day. I went to the news conference. I said they should, because the players had told me they just don't respect him anymore. And I talked about him, and we were fine after that. But the fact that I addressed it with him face-to-face, and that's what I think you should always do. When you say something, explain why. If the person disagrees with you, let him have his say. And if you're wrong, you express it on the air after they talk to you. But I will always do that.
Agreed. I actually want to talk a little souls with you. Explain to me a little bit this Dubel Herrera situation, as in, am I reading right that the Phillies would never get out from this guy's contract?
Here's the problem in baseball. In football, you can get out of the contract when it's a morals issue. But in baseball, the Players Association negotiated, and it's a moral situation that the player still gets his money. I don't care how much they have to pay him. I could care less. They're not paying hardly anything for Jay Bruce. So let him pay for Odubel Herrera. It's obvious that it looks more and more like, and he shouldn't be back. I don't like him as a player, but that's not the issue. The issue is what he allegedly did. The woman, his girlfriend, gave a report to the security people and the police, or the security people gave it to the police, where it says she was domestically abused. She had bruises on her neck and her arm. And it may not have been the first time. From what I've been told beyond that, she said she's not going to press charges. But her parents are cooperating fully with whoever wants to talk to her. Now, there's a hearing on June 17th in New Jersey, but that's not the real issue. The issue is baseball, and there's no question baseball is going to suspend him. I would imagine it's going to be at least 50 games. And the Phillies don't have to make a decision to get rid of him until after that, because at that point, they don't have to pay him. But they're separating themselves from him. They removed the banners from the stadium. Major League Baseball took him off the All-Star ballot. And that's all well and good. I don't think he'll be back. I don't think there's any way he'll be back. And I think the Phillies, if they're going to do that, and it looks like they are doing the right thing. But it doesn't matter in the case of professional sports. Now, he's going to get paid. But in the case of professional sports, whether he's found guilty or not guilty, in a court of law, if they find that you are guilty and they have to conduct their own investigation, it doesn't matter what happens in a court of law. They can suspend you because based on the information we have, it appears that he's certainly domestically abused her. And if the parents are cooperating, that leads me to believe that it's happened before. I don't know that. And I allegedly happened. I'll use the word allegedly happened before. And I don't know that. But if the parents are chiming in, then the daughter must have talked to him about something. I'm just, again, assuming allegedly. It's all alleged. But the reality is he's going to be suspended, and there's a really good chance that he'll never play again with the Phillies, and I'm okay with that. He'll play in baseball. Somebody else will pick him up, but he'll play again in baseball. But I've been told that there's no question baseball will suspend him.
That's a travesty. The union doesn't have a moral or behavior clause, but it is what it is.
I don't agree with that either. I think that's ridiculous. When there's a morals clause like that, when there's a morals issue, not a clause, there's no morals clause, I don't think the players should be paid. It's just players have too many rights, and why should you get – well, he's not going to get paid during the suspension. He's getting paid now during the leave until they make a decision. They're going to have to pay him after that, which is – yeah, it's just – it's
crazy. And I'll tell you just one more point is you tend to worry a little bit about Reese Hoskins and the inconsistencies. I mean, he's become like a Dave Kingman. You know, he hits the homers and – you know, I know Harper's a strikeout guy. You got to separate him, like you said. But
you know what? In watching, and I've seen Jay Bruce before, and thanks for the call. In watching Jay Bruce, I mean, Harper has been the same player for his entire career, and he got paid for it. Harper, in almost all cases, really swings hard. Jay Bruce seems to me, and watching him now, watching with the Phillies, because now you watch him every day, has a more controlled swing with, and he has the power with a more controlled swing. And that, I think, is the difference. It's amazing that he's had this many home runs in such a short period of time, but I watched him in batting practice yesterday, and he can crush the ball. He really, and he doesn't overswing. He just takes his swing. So it's been kind of an interesting dynamic, but the Phillies got a pretty good break, and they're going to do more. So just for those people that are upset about Keuchel, relax. They're going to get a pitcher. They got to get another outfielder, and I believe they will do that. And giving up minor leaguers is not a big deal. All right, Tucker Bagley on the other side again today. Thanks. Full show today. I'm heading over to the garage sale at P.J. Willihan's on Route 70, WIP garage sale, and all the money raised benefits the Pennsylvania SPCA. So I'm going to head over there when I get off the air. Glenn and Ray are next from Delaware Park. Everybody have a great, great, great weekend. I'll talk to you again next week. And we'll get a little rain next week, but it'll be okay. But everybody have a great weekend and stay safe. WIP Sports Time is 9:57.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.